What I am here to talk about today is her life and how she was failed by, manipulated by, and used by people of authority that she admired and trusted right up until her final days. Miss Birchmore was a vulnerable person who had one constant in her life since childhood, her unwavering admiration of police officers, of those serving the military, people in uniform, people with oaths and duties to protect and serve. The admiration led her to form relationships with men who were willing to take advantage of her. I stand before you today as a civil servant who is heartbroken and incensed by what has transpired, and who pledges to this that this chapter in the Stoughton Police Department and the town of Stoughton is over. Must never repeat. The revolving door is closed.
There are so many stories we tell that involve corruption, cover-ups, or just downright incompetence or negligence that it makes me lose complete faith in the system. A system that is put in place to protect us. And doing this show for as long as I have, I've seen a lot more bad than good. The problems are systemic. And at times, I've even caught myself thinking, like, what is the point? Like, we might as well just give up because the problems are so big and have been there for so long that maybe I'm the delusional one and this is just how the world is, evil. And the evil is so, like, deeply rooted that we are never going to win or never going to make a difference. But then, when I need it the most, I get a glimpse of the good ones. People who are fighting from the inside to make things better and fair and just. People who believe in right and wrong and know that no one is above the law. And those people give me hope all over again to keep fighting myself. And I felt all of those feelings when covering today's story. Despair that an entire agency could look the other way when so much evidence was at their fingertips suggesting a boy in blue might have killed a young woman to protect his reputation. And then this fire to kick ass and take names and get behind those people like Donna McNamara, the chief of the Stoughton PD who you just heard at the top. She didn't just sit back and let it be. She found her own way to expose the truth.
Sandra's complex relationship with Matthew took a sinister turn following alarming texts and accusations of abuse. As Matthew's actions and manipulations unfold, a shocking revelation surfaces involving another officer's connection to Sandra. What other secrets will come to light as investigations dig deeper into the Stoughton Police Department?
And what's so weird is after this interaction, Matthew just out of nowhere completely changes his tune and starts to speak really positively to Sandra about their whole situation. And Sandra actually texted her friend about it.
So the father came by last night. It was like a complete 360 change.
180?
Yeah, LOL.
Good or bad?
Good, but unexpected. So it kind of threw me off and made me a little uncomfortable, but that's because of how things were going. But it was like a complete 180 from where we were at.
On this same night, along with having a heart-to-heart, Matthew also asked Sandra for a key to her apartment and the code to her building's entrance. But even with him seemingly doing everything right, like saying the perfect things, there were moments where Sandra felt uneasy, like something wasn't quite right. The day of that 180-degree change conversation on January 24th, Sandra texted a friend about something weird.
Last night, he opened my closet door for something, and then he went in my bathroom looking at my bathroom. And then I have a dolly in my living room that he asked why I had it. It was just really odd. He started looking around. I don't know. It was really weird.
Then on January 29th, Sandra reminded Matthew what the code to enter her apartment complex was, and Matthew asked her to confirm that it was a general code for the entire building, not just like a personal code for Sandra. And that basically brings us to February 1st.
The day that Sandra died.
Yes. Matthew texted Sandra at around 9 p.m. asking if he could come by for a second. She responded that she would leave her door open for him. And that was the last known message that Sandra would ever send.
I guess I'm confused right now. Like, MSP had these messages from Sandra's laptop, right? Like, are they just ignoring them?
Ugh. It's really bizarre. So, listen, hang on. I'm just going to read you exactly what they say about the laptop messages in the report. Keep in mind, again, a lot of redactions here. But it says this. Over the next several weeks, I analyzed data from Sandra's laptop. In particular, I was investigating any criminal conduct related to Sandra's death and, something redacted here, Sandra's laptop gave me access to approximately 12 months of iMessages, social media content, and other documents/databases. Matt and Sandra had texted thousands of times over the year, as well as communication with many other friends and family of Sandra. It was clear based on texts with Matt that he and Sandra had a sexual relationship, as he told us in his previous interview. Then there's this big redacted chunk followed by this. All of these conversations were flagged in the forensics report of her laptop. Sandra communicated often with friends and family. It appeared Sandra had sexual relationships with other men in the months leading up to her death. There were no threats of harm by any of these individuals, including Matt. End quote.
That's it?
That's literally the last sentence on the last page of the MSP report that we received. No threats of harm. So no criminal culpability.
But clearly, there is a crime here, right?
Well, put possible murder aside.
Okay.
Chief McNamara can't look into that, right? Because that's not her jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the sexual abuse of an explorer within the department she now is chief of, move out the way. Like, she is charging full steam ahead. Because here's the thing. Along with now being sure that Matthew abused a minor in the program, other witnesses come forward and say that Sandra told them he wasn't the only one.
Daniel Craig returns as Benoit Blanc with an all-star ensemble cast for his most dangerous case yet. When young priest Judd Duplantisy is sent to assist charismatic firebrand Monsignor Jefferson Wicks, it's clear that all is not well in the pews. Written and directed by Rian Johnson, critics are calling it the sharpest Knives Out movie yet. Watch Wake Up Dead Man, a Knives Out mystery in select theaters on November 26th and only on Netflix December 12th.
According to people who knew Sandra, and I want to preface this by saying much of this information is unconfirmed, but they say that Matthew Farwell wasn't the only Stoughton Police Department employee who Sandra had a sexual relationship with. She also had one with William Farwell, Matthew's twin brother.
What? When? How? And did the brothers know about each other's relationships with Sandra?
So William is also an officer with the Stoughton Police Department. They also met through the Explorers program because he was a guest instructor. So when they talk to him, he admits it, but like, bad case of deja vu, he says that he had, quote, been with Sandra sexually maybe 2 to 3 times, and the last of which was sometime in December of 2020.
That was when she was also seeing Matthew.
Apparently. So clearly there is something bigger happening here. So Chief McNamara's agency hires multiple PIs and outside consultants, and over the course of nearly 19 months, they go down every rabbit hole you can think of. And guess what? It didn't even end there. Implicated in the internal affairs investigation was another man named Robert Devine, who was a former deputy chief of the Stoughton Police Department and the officer in charge of the Explorers program.
Before diving into how the FBI assumed jurisdiction based on a federal charge against Matthew, it's crucial to understand the troubling dynamics that led to such drastic measures. Sandra's tragic story, marred by manipulation and grooming, raises questions about the systemic failures within programs meant to protect youth. How did these events unfold to draw in federal authorities? Stay tuned as the narrative takes a critical turn.
So how did the FBI get jurisdiction of the case in order to make the arrests? Like, do they just trump state agencies by default?
No, the FBI makes an ingenious move to charge Matthew with one count of killing a witness or victim, which is a federal crime charge that often appears in connection with other federal charges, like sometimes in mob cases or crime rings that span like multiple states.
But in this case, it allowed the FBI to step in without involving MSP.
Exactly. And this charge also happens to be punishable by death. So that same day, Matthew pleads not guilty at an arraignment. And as of this recording, Matthew has been indicted by a federal grand jury, and his trial is currently scheduled to begin on October 5th, 2026. Until then, he's being held without bail at a detention facility in Rhode Island. And our reporter, Nicole Kagan, actually reached out to his attorney for comment, but as of this recording, we have not heard anything back. There is news still breaking in this case, though. The strangest thing to me was broken by the Boston Globe earlier this year. They wrote that people familiar with the investigation who spoke on the condition of anonymity said that DNA testing showed Matthew was not the biological father of Sandra's unborn baby.
Okay, first of all, who are these sources? I need to know.
Same, but I have no idea.
And secondly, the motive still makes sense for me, though, because if Matthew thought he was the father, which it really seems like he did from the text messages, mm-hmm. That's your motive. And also, he refused to give his DNA at first, right?
Well, also, he had a twin brother who admitted to sleeping with Sandra at the same time. And like, my own PSA, I no longer trust adult twins who work at the same place if that place gives them access to children. I know that sounds specific, but I just listened to the newest season of Dig and like, oh, hell no, there is a pattern here. But there is also another pattern that I found, one with the Explorers program. Sandra's story is one that did get a decent amount of attention and had been kind of like living in the back of my brain since 2022, like-ish, when I first heard about it. And in digging into that, this local article from here in Indianapolis popped up and grabbed my attention. It was from April 14th, 2022. It said, IMPD officer tied to teen suicide ordered to write weekly journal in rare sentence. And that's kind of like crime junkie clickbait.
Yeah.
And when I began reading, I had this weird deja vu. Deleted text messages. The Police Explorers program. So I began to wonder, maybe William and Matthew and Robert weren't a couple of bad apples in the system. What if the program is designed in a way that actually attracts predators and puts children at risk? Like, parents are sending their kids off to work with the police because, like, you couldn't be safer, right? Wrong. The more I looked, the more I found. And our reporter, Nina, and I have spent months, the better part of a year, uncovering systematic issues with the Explorers program. And next week, we are going to be releasing an entire episode with every twisted detail we found.
That's all for today. Visit podsummarizer.xyz and start creating summaries of your own podcast in just seconds. Don't miss it.